Can we just lift our hands all across this place to Him? God, we worship You. We love You, Jesus. Have Your way in this place and in this house. God, we worship You. Oh, I know that I've got a message to preach, but I wonder, can we just take a minute? There's a spirit at this place that hasn't been tapped into yet. God's just waiting on some of us, I believe, to just give our focus and attention to Him. All service, it's felt like that the devil's in this place trying to distract, trying to get our attention off, but this is really about Him. I came to church today because I want to feel His presence. I want to know that I touched heaven when I left this place. Oh, we praise You, Jesus. We worship Your name. What a mighty God. What a mighty God. What a mighty God we serve. Jesus, we love You. We exalt You. Have Your way in this place today, oh God. I love You, Jesus. I thank You. If you have your Bibles, or it'll be on the screen as well, I'm going to turn to Job chapter 23 and verse 10. Job 23:10, it says, "But He knoweth the way that I take. And when He hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. But He knoweth the way that I take." God, would You help us today? Humbly I pray, God, You would open our hearts and our minds. I pray You would speak to us, Jesus. Help me, God, to convey the message that You put in my heart, God. Help us to leave changed and different, oh God, to leave back on fire for You, full of faith. Oh, help us today, Jesus. We need You. In Jesus' name, you may be seated. He knows the way that I take. I want to also read Psalms chapter 34, verse 19. Verse says, "Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all." Many, plural, meaning there's not just one, but many afflictions. And if you notice, it says it is afflictions of the righteous. Can I tell you that living for God does not exempt us from trouble? Living for God does not give us a pass on problems in life and trouble. This verse says many are the afflictions of the righteous. It's not talking about the wicked. The wicked, you can read through the Bible where the wicked have their punishment and things do not go well like it always seems for the wicked. But can I tell you that the righteous suffer as well? Jesus Himself in John 16:33 said, "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace." Look at this part. He says, "In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." In this world you shall have tribulation. It's not you might have tribulation. It's not some people just have tribulation, but we all are going to face a trial or tribulation at some point. You could be seated. Tribulation means, in, according to the dictionary, a state of affliction or oppression. It means suffering or in distress, a cause or occasion of suffering, a trouble or trial. That word tribulation is not something that any of us would choose to want to go through. But Jesus Himself said we are all going to experience this at some point. I've watched so many times as a new Christian, they've been baptized, they're filled with the Holy Ghost, and life is good, and everything is new and exciting. But I have seen when in a very short time and in very short order, a trial shows up on their doorstep. And I've seen so many that turn from God right after having a salvation moment, that They believed and fell for one of Satan's greatest lies, and it's the lie that if God really cared for you, if he really loved you, then why are you facing trouble? Oh, you felt power at church on Sunday. Oh, when you came out of the water, you felt fresh and clean. Oh, when you were filled with the Holy Ghost, there was nothing like it. But now you're looking at a trial. If God really loved you, then why are you dealing with that? Well, let me ask you, were you in trouble when you found Jesus? Oh, was your life smooth without a hitch, or was it a mess whenever you came to him? I don't know about you, but the day that I repented and God filled me with the Holy Ghost was not a day that life was just perfect. It was not a day that I had never had any trouble. But oh, I can tell and safely assume that most of us, when we met God, we were in a bad place. We were in a place of needing him. We were in a place that life was not going quite so great. Some of us were bound. Some of us were suffering. Some of us were in trouble. Getting us to fall for this picture that he paints, that if God really loved us, we wouldn't be in trouble right now. Well, can I tell you, you had trouble before you ever met Jesus. You were still having trouble in this life before you ever came to God. Why? Because in this life, we are going to have trials and tribulations. Job 14:1. It says, man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. Matthew 5:45, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and the unjust. Oh, living for God does not give you a pass on trouble, but it gives you access to the only one who can actually deliver you out of trouble. This is what God has stirred into my spirit so strong today, is that there are some things in life that we get spared from. Salvation spares you from an eternal lake of fire and a place of torment. I'm thankful to be spared from that awful place. But can I tell you, I'm so thankful that it's not just deliverance from that place, but rather it's a true sparing, a way I don't have to even entertain it. I don't even have to feel it. I don't even have to go there because I'm spared. But deliverance is something different. Deliverance means that you were in something and got brought out of it. Deliverance means to rescue from bondage or danger. So now when we take that concept that deliverance means I'm in a mess and I have to be taken out, but sparing me through it. Oh, I wish that life from trouble. I wish that I could say that I go through life spared from any heartache, spared from any pain. But no, all of us are going to go through it sometimes. Sometimes we're in a place that we need deliverance. He said, when we read that verse I read earlier, Psalm 34:19, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. Psalms 34:4, I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. Why did David seek the Lord? Because he was afraid. He wasn't in a place of feeling like he had it all together. He had some fears. He was in a place of uncertainty and he cried out to God and God delivered him. What happened? God pulled him out of that situation that he was already in. Psalms 34:7, the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. God will dispatch angels, but they're there to deliver us from trouble. They're there because God Almighty said himself and knows that we're going to have some trouble. And so I'm thankful that when we're walking after him and we're trying to live a righteous life, that I've got an angel on my side, that he will dispatch an angel to pull me out of trouble. Psalms 34:17, he said, the righteous cry and the Lord heareth. Right there is a complete
antidote to what the devil loves to tell us. The Bible tells us that if we're living right and we cry out to him, that the Lord will hear us. And the second part says, he delivereth them out of all their troubles. Can I tell you, a righteous child of God, when he cries out for help, God is going to listen and will deliver them. But I want you to notice that they're in a state of trouble when they're crying out. The reason that they're crying out to God for help is because they're in trouble. I know I'm being redundant today, but I want us to see that sometimes we're in a mess. Sometimes life will deal you some cards you didn't ask for. Sometimes you'll find yourself in a place that doesn't make sense. And it's in that place that we can count on God bringing deliverance. This chapter of Psalms, it also gives some great insight on how we're supposed to request the help from God. The first verse of that chapter, verse 1, says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. It's imperative that we praise him in the good and the bad. It's so easy to praise him when you got your blessing. It's so easy to praise him whenever you felt a touch from heaven. But can I ask you, are you still praising him when trouble shows up? Oh, when you get a letter from the doctor that you didn't like, whenever the bills are stacking up, whenever things aren't going right, are we still going to praise him? Are we still going to have a praise in our mouth continually at all times? To do that, it requires faith. What do you mean it requires faith? Faith says, I'm going to go ahead and praise him and thank him in advance before I'm ever delivered out of my trouble, because I know he's going to come through. The very essence of faith is believing when I can't really see it. Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Faith's important. A few verses later, it says, without faith, it is impossible to please him. If we're going to please him, it's going to require faith, which means that when I praise God, even when it seems hopeless, even when the situation is bigger than me, and I begin to mix my praise with some faith, can I tell you, God will listen. It's a place that God can't resist, a praise, a cry from his child, but when it's mixed with praise and faith, can I tell you, it will happen. It may take time. It may not be when you think, but I'm telling you, there's a God that is faithful. There's a God that made the universe, that can count the stars. Can I tell you that God is interested in the cries of his children? But it's important that we also approach this almighty creator, the God who is all powerful, with a spirit of humility. James 4:6 tells us that he gives more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Psalms 51:17, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. Psalms 34:18, the Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. What does a contrite spirit mean? If I've messed up and I've got myself into a real mess, it's not the spirit of blaming everybody else for my mistake. It's not the spirit of trying to take a finger and figure out who I can point it to of why I'm in this situation. It's not an attitude that says I don't deserve this, but rather it's a deep, humble repentance that when I look in the mirror, I point the finger right at myself and I say, you need to change in whatever capacity of the situation. It may not be all your fault. It may not be things that you can all control, but can I tell you, there's something that you can work on. There's something that I can work on. When I'm in the middle of a trial, it's because God's trying to purge something out. And so there's something that I got to look in the mirror and say, flesh, you need to change. It's a place of being truly sorrowful for displeasing God. I like to use this acronym,
Acts, A-C-T-S, like the book of Acts, when praying. I know there's other acronyms out there, but this one was easy for me to remember, and it was simple. Philippians 4 and 6, I'm going to read it from the ESV. It says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." That A stands for adoration. It's praise to God just for who He is. It's lifting up His name. It's taking the first moments of my talk with God. When I come to this church, I try to every day that I can and come by here at some point to pray. My first conversation with Him is not unloading my troubles on Him. It's not telling Him how bad life is, but no, I want to come in this place and praise His holy name. That's why the psalmist started out that psalm by saying, His praise shall continually be in my mouth. It's a focus on Him. It's saying, God, I'm praising You just for who You are. God, I thank You that I even have access to You right now. Oh, God, You're good. The C is confess. It's repentance for anything I've said, done, or thought that would be displeasing to Him. Can I tell you, this is something we ought to be doing every time we pray. Oh, it's not good enough to just pray once a week at church. It's not good enough to just repent once a week at church. Oh, you say, well, I haven't done anything wrong. Well, can I tell you, if you were to start really looking, I promise you, somewhere throughout your day, you came short of being exactly what God has asked you to be. I promise you, somewhere you didn't treat somebody just like you should have. I promise you, you thought something, said something, or did something that God was not pleased with. So before I start talking to Him about my troubles, before I start asking God for anything, I want to make sure that my heart is right. I want to make sure that I've cleaned myself up, that I've said, God, will You wash away whatever it is that would be displeasing? And I want to stand in a place of purity when I'm talking to Him. The T is thanksgiving. It's thanking Him for all His blessings and for salvation. Can I tell you, if you will begin to focus on this particular section of it, it will take you, you will be at prayer way longer than you ever thought. Because the more you begin to look at it, and the more you begin to call to remembrance in your mind the blessings of God, folks, we're blessed today. We are such a blessed people. And yes, I know we've got trouble. And yes, I know that we've got situations. Every one of us, no doubt, have requests and situations that are urgent that we're saying, God, we need help in this. It's bigger than me. But can I tell you, each and every one of us are blessed. We're here. I mean, just the obvious. We're here in America, in freedom. We're here in a building. We're not in an underground church somewhere. We've got access to salvation. We've got access to a personal walk and relationship with the Almighty God. Can I tell you, the blessings are endless. And so I want to take time to thank Him. Oh, in the Bible, we find example after example after example where God honored those that were of a thankful heart. Oh, the first one that comes to my mind is those 10 lepers when they were healed and they were walking away and only one of them came back and thanked God. Oh, it's a shame, but it's what we do in our lives so often. We take His blessings for granted. I take His blessings for granted. When's the last time that I went through the list in my mind of all the healings that He's done for me? All the financial miracles He's done? All the times when I just cried out and didn't even have time to get a good prayer together and there was a car heading my way and somehow I'm still here today. Can I tell you, we are blessed. We have so much to be thankful for. God has been so good. And after I've done all of that, now it's time for the S, which is supplication. That's when I begin to make my requests known to God. It's after I've praised Him. It's after I've repented. It's after I've thanked Him for all that He already did. Then it's the appropriate time. Then it's time that I can make my requests known to God. The last key to all that I want to point out is the faith part. How many of us like to hear a little kid running around just nagging and nagging and nagging and begging and begging and begging. I mean, I've seen it. I did it as a kid only a few times. My parents helped fix that problem. But that nagging little begging just attitude of, I want it, but can I please, but can I? I mean, it'll drive you nuts. And it's no different than even in life. If you ask your husband to take out the trash, and he's got a pretty good reputation for following through on some things, then just believe that he's going to do it. Now, if his reputation's bad, that's a whole nother story. Then you might have to nag a little. But can I tell you, God has a perfect track record of following through. God is faithful. I've never had a time when God didn't come through. It might not have been according to my timeline. It might have been when I wanted it. But can I tell you, God has always provided and came through. And I think anybody in the building would have the same track record with God. And so when we make our requests to Him, this has changed my prayer life. This has changed my life as a whole in general since a few months ago when I felt like God began to show me this, that whenever we've asked Him, we've made a request to Him. After that, it gets shifted over into the thankful department that, God, I've already asked you. I believed in faith. And you got to, the Bible warns us about asking amiss. I'm not saying just, God, give me $1 million. I'm talking about when you've got a real request that you know is something that God's going to have to get involved in. And it's a wholesome, pure request. Can I tell you, when you've asked God that, now, moving forward, I don't just keep coming every day and begging, saying, God, will you please do it? God, please, please, God, will you please do it? Like I'm trying to twist His arm. Can I tell you, I come to Him and I say, God, I already asked you and I believe you're going to do it. So now I'm going to thank you for what you're going to do. Oh, I don't know when and I don't know how and I don't know where, but I believe you're going to do it. So now I thank you for what you're doing. If we will shift our focus from nagging and begging and pleading and just groveling about all this, and we will shift it to a place of praise and thanksgiving, I promise you we're going to see some things happen. I promise you, the Bible says He inhabits the praises of His people. It does not say He inhabits the requests of His people. It does not say He inhabits the sorrowful pity parties that we have, but it says that He inhabits our praise. So if I need Jesus to show up in a situation, the fastest way I can do that is begin to praise Him, begin to thank Him, begin to lift Him up. And as I get ready to close, I'm not going to be much longer. Don't let that lying devil tell you that God did not hear your request the first time, because it hasn't happened yet. The devil will jump on your shoulder. I don't care if you're at church in prayer. I've been in praying and not been paying close enough attention. And next thing you know, that devil's got me so depressed and down, and it feels like God's never going to do it. And why am I even at church praying? I promise you, that wasn't God's spirit putting that in you. That was the devil. And so I'm telling you, don't let him deceive you and tell you that God is not still paying attention just because I didn't get delivered yet. Just because I'm still crying out for help. Just because I woke up this morning and things weren't like I planned. Can I tell you, there is still a God that is in control. Sometimes God will put us through some tests, and we'll do it to try our faith in Him. Proverbs 13:12 says, hope deferred maketh the heart sick. If your hope, if what you're praying for seems delayed, or if the devil can convince you that it's denied, can I tell you, it'll ruin a good day. It'll make you sick to your stomach. There's been some times that it's a great day, but by the time I listen to that voice too long, that now I feel so hopeless. I mean, hey, it happens to the preacher just like it does to the saint. Just because you're a preacher, just because you, it doesn't matter. I'm telling you, the devil still shows up and still tries to bring hopelessness. But the last part says, when desire comes, it is a tree of life. The reason the devil wants to get you to a place of hopelessness, the reason that he wants you in that dark and lonely, miserable place, is because he knows if you wait long enough, when that blessing shows up, it's going to blossom. He knows that when you finally get what you were praying about, it's going to be worth it. He knows there's going to be some praise. He knows that you're going to be happy. And so he'll do everything in his power to keep you from making it all the way. Job 23:10, that verse I read, it says, but he knows the way that I take. And when he's tried me, I shall come forth as gold. I'm going to come forth out of this. When God's done trying me, when God says enough is enough, then I'm coming out of this as gold. And I didn't give her the verse, but I want to read just a couple verses before that where Job said that. Because we look at that and we say, wow, that guy, he had some faith, and he must have somehow felt God and known that God was still looking at him and still that God was right there. Now let me read you the verses before. Verse 8 says, behold, I go forward, but he is not there. And I go backward, and I cannot perceive him or find him. I look on the left hand where he normally works, but I can't find him. And he hides himself on the right hand that I cannot see him. When Job made that statement that he knows the way that I take, and that when he's done trying me, I'm coming forth as gold. When Job made that, he'd been looking around saying, God, I don't see you. God, I don't feel you. God, I look at my situation and it looks hopeless in every direction, in front of me, behind me, side to side. But somehow Job knew that if I'll just trust God out of this, as he's sitting there scraping boils off of his skin, he's in the lowest, most destitute, humbling place of his entire life. It's in that place that Job began to believe that God was testing him and he was going to come out better. Can I tell you, Job was right. Go read the rest of the book. When you get to the end, we use that saying, double for your trouble. You know where that came from? Came from Job. Because when he got done, he had double the children, double the animals, double the life to enjoy him, double the well, double the blessings. Can I tell you what would have happened if Job would have given up? What would have happened if Job would have listened to a lying devil and the people that the devil was speaking through in his life to try and get him to go against God? His own wife said, curse God and die. Oh, thank God that Job did not give in, because now we read the story that when we're in trouble, there's deliverance coming. There comes a day when the Bible says God turned the captivity of Job. Deliverance will come if we remain righteous. If we could all stand across this place, I challenge somebody today, don't lose your praise. Don't lose your faith. Deliverance is already on the way. Oh, the devil, let me tell you, if hell's fighting you, it's because they see something happening. The devil does not live in the realm that you and I live in. We live in this little space of time. But heaven and hell and the spirit world is something that is, we don't understand it. It's fluid. It's not got these bookends of time. And I believe that the demons see activity start happening in the spirit world. There's angelic activity that we read where, like Jacob saw in the vision, they're going to and from, up and down. And we read in Daniel where the angel said he was on his way, but he encountered resistance from the prince of that area. Can I tell you, I believe the devil starts seeing activity. I believe we start praying, and that's why when you pray, sometimes it gets worse. Sometimes when you cry out to God, it seems like that situation starts to heat up. You know why? It's because the devil starts seeing angels get dispatched. It's because the devil starts seeing activity happen in the spirit world. Oh, he doesn't know exactly what's going to happen. He can't read God's mind. He doesn't understand the plans of it. But I believe he's smart enough and he's been doing it long enough to notice when there's activity happening. And I believe that if he can somehow get you to fall, if he can somehow get you to stop trusting in God, stop believing in God, stop having faith, he knows that those angels are handicapped.
Because he knows all too well that if we latch on to faith and if we'll start praising God, he knows all too well that there's coming a day of deliverance. Oh, somebody hear me today. There is a day of deliverance. Today it seems impossible. Today it seems like just another day. But can I tell you, there is coming a day when it's enough is enough, that God finally turns the captivity around. And oh, what a blessed day it's going to be. What a day when it springs forth like a tree of life. Oh, somebody don't give up today. Oh, somebody, it's not time to throw in the towel. It's time to begin to praise. It's time to begin to get your best praise. I don't care how bad you have to muster it up. I don't care how much you have to seemingly fake it. Oh, if you'll begin to just grab something deep on the inside and begin to say, God, I'm still praising you. I may not feel it. I may not see it. I may not understand it, but God, I'm going to praise you. Oh, God, I'm going to thank you. All over this place, can we do it right now? Can we begin to just praise his name, begin to lift up his name, begin to worship him? Oh, we magnify you, Lord. We worship your name. Oh, you are worthy to be praised. We bless your holy name, oh God. Have your way in this place, Jesus.
As every head bowed, as every eye is closed in this place today, I wonder if God has been stirring your heart during this message today. I wonder if there's something deep inside that's being stirred that says, oh, I want to get there. I want to have faith like that. I want to believe like that. If that's you, I want to invite you. These altars are open. If you want to come up here and pray, I'll be glad to pray with you. If you've never made a start for God, today would be a good start. It starts with repentance. It starts with telling him, God, I want to turn my life around. I want to change my ways. I want to go a different path. I want to follow you. Oh, I wonder today, as eyes are closed, I wonder if there's somebody that would be honest enough to say, I needed this message. I needed to know that there is deliverance from my situation. I need deliverance from my situation. I've tried so many things and it hasn't worked. I've even reached out for God, but it feels like that nothing's happening. Can I say today that God is still on the throne and he still knows when the sparrow falls? Just because he's still on the throne doesn't mean that he's not aware of your situation. I wonder today if I could encourage all of us to just begin to reach out for him today. Reach out for him today. Let him do something different for you today. Let him move in your situation because you've got some faith today. Would you let him just reach out for him right now? Let's take a few moments and reach out to him.
Never lost my faith, but most of all, I never lost my praise. Oh, I never lost my hope.
You want me to quietly pray with you? Just slip up your hand right now. I'd be glad to come and pray for you. You have a need in your body or a need in your life and you want me to pray, just reach out right now. Just lift your hand and I'll be glad to pray with you.
My hope, and I never lost my joy. most of all, I never lost my praise. Oh, I never lost my home, and I never lost my joy.
Anybody else have a need today that you want prayer for? Just slip your hand up if you have a need. I'd be happy to pray with you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Feel the Spirit of the Lord trying to move in this place.
Help us today. I never lost my joy.
Oh, I need you, Jesus. I need you, Jesus.
I never lost my hope.
I need you, Jesus. I need you, Jesus.
And I never lost my joy. I never lost my faith. But most of all, I never lost my joy.
Jesus, you know it's key, so important that we don't let go of the things that we know are true, the things that we have that's been given to us. I feel like today the Lord has tried to speak to us. Like the Lord has tried to reach for us. I wonder this week, be a good time this week for us to take time out every morning and talk to God. To take time out and connect with Him before we get about our day. There's no telling how much different our situation would be. Oh, I challenge us this week to reach out for God. I want to remind us of one thing before we're dismissed. That this church, we have locks that have codes. And if you would like to come by the church during the week, you'd like to come in here and pray, just see us afterwards. We can get you a door code. You can come in. And you can come in and spend some time with God. I'm telling you, prayer changes things. Prayer changes things.